The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into hour two. Delighted to do so. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. Do you want to do it, David?
602.
Save the big guy, would you?
508-0960.
That happens. It's weird. I have a version of hyperthymesia where I can remember things from long ago in very minute and specific detail. But yeah, the phone number I've been giving out for 10 years here.
That must be, you know, very difficult when you go up to a lady and you're like, hey, I think you're real cute.
602-508-0960.
Let
me give you another date. March 26th, our Fight for Freedom event with Mike Gallagher and Brandon Tatum. And I will be on stage talking with you. We're going to talk about issues we think are most important in the election, how to think about them, how to talk about them. We're going to hear from you on the issues you think are most important. It'll be a wonderful event. You can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. March 26th, Mike Gallagher will be here with Brandon Tate and myself, some other special guests. What else do we need to know, young David? Oh, you're okay. He can't do it. Yes, 960thepatriot.com. If you want to, we do a ticket giveaway, so I'll do this part. If you want to enter for a free pair of tickets, just email young David at ddoll@salempx.com. D-D-O-L-L at salempx.com. Just put like FFF in the subject line for Fighting for Freedom or anything like that. Give us your name, and we do the drawing every Friday. Okay, we got a lot going on the culture and political front. We shall start in surprise with Rob.
Hi, Seth.
How are you?
I'm okay. Did you ever know the name Eric Carmen?
Of course. Who didn't know the name Eric Carmen?
Well, he was a founding member of the Raspberries.
Correct. Just died, right? So yeah.
He just died at age 74, and we don't know why. But, you know, I looked up a
Hungry
lot of
Eyes. Things. Everyone knows his song
Hungry
from
Eyes.
Dirty Dancing, right?
Right?
Yeah.
From Dirty Dancing,
right.
Exactly. And then there was All By Myself was another one.
Yeah.
His most controversial one was Go All the Way. I think that was one of his first or so.
Oh, okay.
That was so bad that they banned it in the UK because, you know, going all the way was a little bit too.
They could do that, but they couldn't. But they couldn't get rid of Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Okay, fine.
Of course, that came out later.
Yeah, not that much later. Not that much.
No,
4 years maybe.
And he wrote songs. There was one that. Called Almost Paradise,
okay.
And that was from Footloose.
Okay.
That actually was sung by Ann Wilson.
Did he have a song in Footloose as well as Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
This is impossible because I confuse those two movies all the time. This is not helpful. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
But the one thing that ties them together is Eric Carmen.
Eric Carmen.
He was a nice Jewish boy from Cleveland, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a small thing, and I don't know if you'd mentioned it. I remember listening to some of his music. Some of it was kind of kitschy, and then some of it wasn't too bad.
Saw it mentioned by Greg Gutfeld, I think it was. He was doing a podcast with Greg Gutfeld, so he had to have been somewhat conservative, I would imagine. Interesting.
I hadn't delved in enough to know. But he had been, you know, he had been pretty consistent. He didn't have any illnesses to speak of. His wife, I guess, mentioned it on the EricCarmen.com website.
So he was what, 74, 75, something like that?
He was 74, and he passed in his sleep, which is probably a good way to go, but we don't know. Maybe just heart failure or something.
You know, 74, life expectancy, it really is in that. I mean, that beats, I think, the world average. I think in America it's like 76. If someone died at 74 when you and I were kids, we would not have raised our eyebrows. You know that?
Or even 70.
Or even 70. I mean, or even in their 60s. If someone died of a heart attack in their 60s when you and I were younger, you're, I think, a hair older than me, if I'm not mistaken, but when you and I were younger, if someone died in their 60s from a heart attack, it would not have raised an eyebrow. Today, no one does.
That's true. And, oh, by the way, last week I turned 70, so now I'm in that.
You know what you are, Rob? You are
of concern.
You are quite a bit older than me.
That's just, I don't know, that's just how the cookie crumbles. I don't think about it much. I don't worry about it much. I just
move young. You know, you sound and move young.
Well, I do my best when you're not hearing my bones creaking and everything.
Yeah.
But I just felt bad. Well, we're seeing a lot of these old time music people passing, and Eric Carmen was one that I wasn't sure you'd mention.
No, I didn't. You brought it up. It's good. What else you got?
Okay. Well, this insane idea of the Army's actually got ships, and this is an Army ship that is going to apparently go over to Israel / the Gaza side and offload humanitarian supplies for the Gazans, which, number one, is stupid. Number two, the ships that are carrying these ramps that are, you know, several hundred feet long are going to be manned, or they're going to have to be manned by military people. And number three, and I guess one of the reasons why they're doing this is because some of the previous supplies that were airdropped squished somebody.
I saw five people got killed.
Yeah.
Originally, yeah. That was the original report. Five people got killed.
Yeah, I think you're right. But just the idea, okay, we're going to provide
by five people. I'm sorry, I should point out five residents of Gaza were killed. Yeah,
five residents of Gaza, indeed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the humane portion of me says, well, fine, but number one, the United States is now going to be involved in providing humanitarian supplies for the enemy of Israel.
It is not a good history.
No, it doesn't.
You
make
who remember
sense.
Lebanon in the 80s, it's not
yes,
a good
I
history
do.
When we try and get in between those parties.
That's right. And I actually lost two Naval Academy classmates during the Beirut bombing
Did
of
you?
The Marine Barracks.
Did you?
Yeah.
1983. Wow.
Yeah. And
that was Hezbollah's calling card. 241 Americans.
And it still is.
Yep.
Well. And it still is. And Hezbollah is actually attacking Israel from the north, too, which is really sad.
Yep.
But I keep thinking, you know, when you have some idea of, you know, who started all this? Well, the Gazans. Well, okay, it wasn't officially Gazans, but it was Hamas who was conveniently residing there. And then we pour in $100 million.
Who bombed Pearl Harbor?
Who bombed Pearl Harbor exactly? And why is this so different?
It's just my point in that is this is new to warfare, and maybe it's healthy, maybe it's unhealthy, but it's new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we Americans have a terrorist organization on our State Department list of recognized terrorist organizations. Hamas.
That's right.
Hamas. It is a terrorist organization. It was elected into power by the people of Gaza. Poll after poll after poll shows that between 70% and 90% of the residents there support Hamas. Interestingly, more in the West Bank than Gaza. I think there's a couple legitimate reasons for that, but we can talk about that another time. This idea that, okay, you take my point. If in World War II someone said, we're fighting the Germans, no one would blink an eye. Well, not all the Germans, someone might say. No, they might not. It didn't. Those locutions did not exist.
Well, yeah, and we had obviously, and the Brits, you know, did bomb civilian population centers. Dresden comes to mind for one, although I think they had a couple of ammo plants there. But I mean, you know, complete destruction, and that's what war is supposed to be, not just this drawn out. Now we're providing, and again, Israel is supposed to be an ally, although I'm not sure that the United States official people are making it look that way because of the pressure from the pro-Israel Palestinian people, and we know who they are.
I can stop this. I have a peace plan. I can stop this. I can. I can put a stop to it right away. I'll go to you on the other side of this break if you have the patience for it, Rob. Okay, but stay with us. I mean, I have an immediate peace plan. It'll stop all fighting, at least all Israeli bombardment. Release the hostages. Release the hostages, amongst of whom are six Americans. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. We were talking a little bit about the Middle East situation with Rob. I have to make a correction. I wanted to double-check my numbers about six American hostages. It's not true. It's five. One was just declared dead, Itai Chen.
So that
would be another American killed on October 7th, bringing that number to, I believe, 32 Americans killed on October 7th. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And it almost seems, too, that the State Department seems to be driving a lot of this, you know, provide aid and help these poor Gazans. And I'm sure national security advisors and people that are actually making decisions are probably doing the same general thing, but I just find it hard to believe that it's like giving Iran, you know, the billions of dollars, and regardless of those who say it's their money, the number one sponsor of terrorism, obviously Iran, who is also, I'm sure, backing both Hamas and Hezbollah, and providing weapons, and probably having advisors on the ground.
Well, I think it's an interesting question that we don't have an answer to as to who's going to distribute this aid.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fascinating question to me. Who is going to be distributing this aid?
And yeah, who's going to be accountable?
And who is going to be selling it off for other purposes? Yeah.
Yes. Who's taking it, and where is it going to go? And again, you know, humanitarian, we're talking probably food and clothing and
tons
that
of
sort
it.
Of thing.
Tons
then,
of it. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
And that's fine. But then 100 million, I'm sorry, I was confusing. That's for Ukraine. But I'm sure, well, we fund the Palestinians anyway. I don't know exactly how much. But it seems to be, fewer things in life are more true than, the simple fact that if you really want to know what an organization values, look at what it spends its money on.
Interesting.
I think that we are spending money on the wrong places. I think of the Navy, where I was looking at their FY24 budget, where they're going to be building six ships, but they're decommissioning 10.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that process where we're going to be decommissioning more ships than building more ships and aircraft.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the next 5 years, they're not going to be building any F-18s, any Super Hornets.
Our military posture is unhealthy. Senator John Kyle, former Senator John Kyle, issued a report late last year on it. With a bipartisan commission. It's well worth the read. Military threat assessment to the United and readiness. The one thing that I wish they would have talked a little bit more about in that report was recruitment, we're doing awfully there. We're doing an awful job with recruitment and with eligible people to recruit. We're doing an awful job.
Oh, yeah. And did you know, obviously, West Point, you know, where they have duty, honor, country as part of their logo, they're doing away with duty, honor, country.
What?
That's a fact.
Come on.
No, it's true. It's true. They're eliminating that from any signs, from their mission statement. And, again, this is, you know,
oh,
MacArthur.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, West Point deletes duty, honor, country.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. You're
right. Yeah, it's pretty scary. And I could probably, you know, give you more. Like, we have the Pentagon, the Defense Department, has a budget growth of about 0.9%. Well, the PRC is rising 7.2%. So again, you know, our priorities don't seem to include matching or even exceeding the number of ships. And China already has more ships than we do, and they're planning on building
more. Do you know what they're
more.
Replacing duty on our country with?
No, I don't.
I'll give it to you. You ready?
Okay.
Here's the new mission statement. From duty on our country, we are now going to build, educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets to be commissioned leaders of character committed to the Army values and ready for a lifetime of service to the Army and nation.
Yeah. Committed to a lifetime of service. Well,
I mean, I just, duty on our country said it all. I mean, it said it all.
Oh, exactly. In the national security strategy, they prioritized, you know, the Indo-Pacific for obvious reasons, Europe and the Western Hemisphere. But it's funny how they left out, you know, so it means like the majority of the world or the majority of Muslim nations in terms of priorities and the continent on the planet. Let's see, which one could that be? The most volatile mix of demographics, economics, religious strife going in to mid-century, which is Africa. We do have an Africa command, but we're not really doing much of anything. Meanwhile, Muslims and terror groups are, and China are pulling into different places in Africa, which is really kind of scary.
Yeah.
The so we're going to be. That originally we were supposed to try to get up to 355 ships, and we remember the Reagan,
the
John
Reagan
Lehman
600 ship Navy
going 600 ship Navy.
Yeah,
and we're going down from 293, which we currently have, with decommissionings down to 285.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, we're building a little. And this says a lot about our industrial base and the train and the lack of people trained to, you know, weld special ways that we do welding for, say, our nuclear submarines.
Yes, sir.
The aircraft. I mentioned no Super Hornets. The Poseidon, I think that's that passenger jet they converted for anti-submarine warfare. No Growlers, which is the EF-18 electronic warfare plane, and no E-2Ds, the E-2C, which is the one I was familiar with in my day, was the, you know, the airborne two-propeller with a big radar dome on top. And in this is like in the next 5 years, they are not going to be building any Super Hornets, Poseidons, Growlers, or E-2Ds. And then there's, of course, the drone situation.
It's awful. And it's all awful. Yeah. That's the takeaway. Yeah, it's awful, and we need new leadership. Yeah. And we need, I mean, I'm too young to have personal memories of this. I am told during the 70s, the culture and the attitude and the emotional strength of our military was very depressed. And by 1981, 1982, it was restored. It can change. It needs to. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. George is in Phoenix. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going, Seth?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself? You doing okay?
Awesome, man.
Good.
Yeah, I just got off of work, and I was listening to you guys on the radio. I'm coming home, and I thought, let me get in here. I love your show, man. I listen to it every day.
Aww.
God bless you guys. You guys kick ass, man.
Oh, wow. Thank you. You know, you are. You made my day. Man, you've got some cowbell to you. You made my day.
All right, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to, you know, just touch bases on the blubbering speech that this idiot was doing the other night. It was a joke and a half. On top of that, I looked back and I did some research. Found out that for the last few years, he said the same damn thing. And then
there's not a lot new there. There's not a lot new to Joe Biden.
Right.
No, there's a lot of old.
Where he was standing, and I don't see the emblem. So it's like, wait a minute. What is this? Is this a joke, or am I really watching this silly you know, show that is just a clown show for everybody to get a laugh off. And then when November comes in, we get our real president back and we get this mud hole cleaned up. You know what I'm saying?
You sound like you're unhappy about a few things.
You think?
A little bit. But you know what? We need you upbeat. We need you upbeat because I'll tell you what, the election is a love affair for this country. That's what this is about. It's about our love affair with this country. And, you know, we have been tested. We have been tested and tried many, 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 many times. I don't think it's been as weak or awful, frankly, a president in my lifetime. Jimmy Carter can thank Joe Biden for that and taking Jimmy Carter out of the sentence that usually utters that phrase. So we have got to get upbeat and be excited about it. Now, what's confusing to me, George, and maybe you have a theory on this, when you look at all the indicia, all the things that have gone on over the past few years under Joe Biden, there's not one thing, not one anyone can tell me or identify he's made better, and most things he's made worse. Why is this still so dang close? The country's different, I suppose. The culture is different here. And I suppose my answer right now is ideology and 40 years of graduating millions of high school and college students steeped in socialism on a conveyor belt that builds the Democratic Party. I would say that's changed this country, and maybe that's why it's so close. But if you are clear-eyed and love this place, it shouldn't be this close.
No. And you know what? I came here on an invite. My family and I came from Cuba. And I'm full-blooded Cuban. I love this country. I will die for this country. My father died giving us a better life. God rest his soul. We were invited by the late, great, and a great president, the Democratic president, Kennedy. He made things outstanding for people who really realized this is for the people. This isn't for the government. When he got murdered, because I'm going to say it that way, everything changed. I came here and I realized I'm not perfect. I made mistakes, but I realized this country is the most beautiful, the most loving, if you could say one word, it's awesome. That's why everybody wants to come here, because this Cuban will stand up as a patriot. And I'll tell you this much. I'm more of a patriot than any of these young people. And I'm 62 years old. I'll be damned if I'm going to go down quietly and not say my piece and say, hey, you guys got to realize what's going on before it's late. Because if you think that these people on the left love this country and love you because you're standing up for them, they're going to run you over like a steamroller and keep going and say, yeah, whatever. I got my way. You're out the door.
We
got to stand up and fight.
We got to take a break. I loved this call, George. But when we come back, I'm going to play you a little audio of Ronald Reagan talking in 1964 about what America meant to Cubans. And as I go to break, thank you, first of all, for your kind comments to us. Thank you for your beautiful comments about this country. And what else can I say? Bienvenido a America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. My friends at the Midas Gold Group War Room point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, that belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group at 480-360-3000 or check them out online at MidasGoldGroup.com. 480-360-3000 or MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful. Midas Gold Group. MAGA and proud of it. MidasGoldGroup.com. This will be our Latin America moment, I suppose, coming in with the song Mexico as we did. And what I wanted to do for George and the rest of you here, George, our caller in the previous segment, whose family moved here from Cuba, risked life and limb. I think he said his dad died getting his family here. The two probably most remembered election speeches in the modern era were in 1964. Barry Goldwater's acceptance speech at the Republican convention, and later, a few days before the election, Ronald Reagan's Time for Choosing speech broadcast on NBC on behalf of the Barry Goldwater campaign. A lot of people think that that Time for Choosing speech was at the convention. It wasn't. It was paid for. Some friends of Reagan and supporters of Goldwater bought time, bought, what was it, a half hour, Young David, on NBC to play the Time for Choosing speech that Ronald Reagan gave on behalf of the Goldwater campaign. And there was debate inside the Goldwater headquarters, nothing new under the sun, right, as to whether it was just too strong or not, you know, whether it would be helpful or not, raised more money than anything else the campaign had done. It was a huge boost, not only to the Goldwater campaign, but really set off and made Ronald Reagan's career in politics, making him so popular to run for governor, as he did and win 2 years later in California, beating Pat Brown by over a million votes, and then setting his career to where we know of it today. Cuba. Listen to this from the Time for Choosing speech.
As for the peace that we would preserve, I wonder who among us would like to approach the wife or mother whose husband or son has died in South Vietnam and ask them if they think this is a peace that should be maintained indefinitely. Do they mean peace, or do they mean we just want to be left in peace? There can be no real peace while one American is dying someplace in the world for the rest of us. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. As for
just beautiful, just beautiful, the last stand on earth. We used to understand that about this country. A week ago, it was disclosed that two Democrats in the U.S. Congress led a delegation of a dozen people to Cuba, Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal. Pramila Jayapal is the one who was giving Robert Herr the business the other day, not letting him answer her questions as she was lying about what he found. She said, "You'll remember, you exonerated Joe Biden." He said, "No, I did not." And she said she wouldn't let him get that sentence out. She's the head of Progressive Caucus. But they went to Cuba, as did representatives from Barbara Lee's office, and didn't want to give any comments about it. No press releases, nothing like that. And you know, I think we tend to kind of forget our bearings about national security and human rights over time. I think that Barack Obama, with the help of one Republican in the Senate at the time, just one, did us a bad thing by normalizing relations with Cuba before Cuba could become a normal country. That's the Dennis Prager, Seth Leibson view of foreign policy. You want normalized relations, be normal. The Cuban Constitution says this. I'll read directly from it. Guided by the most advanced revolutionary anti-imperialist Cuban Marxist Latin American and universal thought, in particular by the ideal and example of Martí and Fidel, as well as the social emancipation ideas of Marx, Engels, and Lenin. That's what it says in the Constitution of Cuba itself. Article 1 of the Cuban Constitution states, quote, Cuba is a democratic, independent, and sovereign socialist state of law and social justice, close quote. That's a great phrase, social justice, isn't it? You know how good it is when the Cuban Constitution uses it. You also know how good a phrase democratic socialist is and how innocent it is when the Cuban Constitution uses it. Amnesty International, which cannot be considered a conservative or right-wing precinct, writes that Cuba engages in mass human and civil rights violations and blocks the investigation of both by groups such as Amnesty International. There is a reason hundreds of thousands of Cubans attempt to enter America every year, and not the other way around. We lost our bearings. We lost our bearings with Cuba. When Barack Obama reversed all those years of policy against Cuba, policies that went back Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush again. All of those presidents had the same policy on Cuba until Barack Obama, who knew better. Who knew better? And when he normalized those relations, what did Raul Castro say? What did Raul Castro say? Quote, we won the war with the United States. Cuba will remain a communist country. How sad. How sad. Portions of this show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com, or give them a call at 888-YRefi-24. You can also visit them in person. They're headquartered here. They're on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. You won't be asked to sign a thing, and you won't get a sales pitch. They leave that up to me. They offer a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. There are absolutely no fees with YRefi. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back with YRefi. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and you are in control where you can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com, or call 888-YRefi-24. Put in a word for our event on March 26th, which YRefi is a sponsor of, a lead sponsor of.
They are
a
lead sponsor.
And we'll be bringing in Mike Gallagher, the radio host, Brandon Tatum, myself will be on stage at Arizona Christian University March 26th. It's going to be a nice conversation with y'all. About what we think is the most important set of issues in this election, how to think about them, how to talk about them. We'll want to get your thoughts back and forth. It's going to be kept somewhat intimate. We like to do that because it maximizes the interaction. If you want to enter for a free pair of tickets, you can email young David. His email is ddahl, D for David, Dahl for his last name, which is D-O-L, ddahl at salempx.com. ddahl at salempx.com. I was speaking about presidential campaigns. I haven't asked you about pins lately. Are you wearing a lapel pin today? I didn't see one.
No.
I usually don't look at them, but I can see them.
Very, very busy. Yesterday I had a Rumsfeld pin on.
He was being thought of in – don't tell me. He was being thought of for a campaign for president in – 96?
I think that's true, but this is from his congressional days.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Illinois congressman.
Yes.
Rumsfeld. He was twice the Secretary of Defense and once the Chief of Staff. Was he the Chief of Staff for Jerry Ford at one point?
Yes, he was Chief of Staff for Jerry Ford.
Yeah, and then he became
first
Secretary
couple
of
years,
yeah.
And then he shuffled things around and made himself Secretary
That's
of
right.
Defense.
That's
Nixon
right.
called him the most stylish man in the cabinet.
He was a real stud. I knew him a little bit. And the autobiography he wrote, I can't remember what it was called. It's clever, based on something. I'm just blanking on it. It's a great read. Okay, John Shattuck coming right up.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.